Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and this is Bonnie Kay with the Straight Wives Talk Show. It's Sunday, November 24th, and this is a hard-hitting show that discusses the complexities of marriages between straight women to gay men. Each week, my guests and I discuss issues that affect over 4 million women in this country and millions more around the world who find themselves unknowingly married to a gay or bisexual man. If you have any comments you would like to make during this broadcast, you can either call them in at 646-716-4893, or you can email me at bonkay@aol.com. That's bonkaye@aol.com. And before I introduce my very special guest, Dr. Brian Hooper, just going to make a couple of announcements. Excuse me. The first one is that we're starting to pull together our March Houston Get-Together Healing Weekend. And I know it's a little late in the game. It started getting formed a little bit late, but I wanted to make sure that the details are better than ever. And thankfully, we're going to be in a beautiful place, have a wonderful time. And people will be coming in from all over, not only this country, but also Canada. So it's a really wonderful way to start your healing process, because what's really important when you're going through this is to find the kind of support that's going to make your journey an easier journey, meeting new friends who can understand exactly what you're saying without even saying a word. So if you would like to join me for the weekend in Houston, we've now switched to a hotel that's very easy to get to from the airport, only a mile away, which I think will make it so convenient for so many more people. So I am excited. Please write to me at bonkay@aol.com, and I'll be happy to put you on the list for sending details out. Also, I want to mention that, you know, we have our support chat 3 times a week, including on this Thursday, which I know is Thanksgiving. It's a holiday that begins the holiday season, and it's a very sad time for many of our women who are going through a transition in their lives, or who have just gone through one, or even the residual scarring from years later. It hurts, and so you don't have to feel like you have to be alone. We will have our online support chat where people and women can gather together and find the support they're looking for during this holiday season, and support does make such a major difference. Also, a reminder that on Tuesday here in the United States, we've now combined our U.S. chat with our U.K. chat. So if you're in the United States, it's at 3:30 Eastern Standard Time, but if you're in the United Kingdom, it's 8:30 in the evening. This way we have the East meeting the, I guess, the West or the East also, I don't know, but right across the ocean. Shame I have such bad geography. But, you know, like I say, even though it's a long distance, we all share that common bond. So please join us for our Tuesday afternoon evening chat. Well, without further ado, I'd like to introduce my very popular repeating guest. Boy, I'll tell you one thing, Brian, when I told the women that you're going to be the guest tonight in our support chat, first of all, someone said, is Dr. Brian on tonight? Yes, he is. Oh, they were so excited. Our women really love you.
Aww.
And they do appreciate everything that you do for us. They really do.
Thank you. Well, it's my pleasure. My pleasure indeed.
So, Brian, we said that tonight we were going to go through some tips that you came up with, or shall I say you're going to go through some tips on how to survive these holidays. And not to give any kind of, you know, preview, because I don't know exactly what you're going to tell us. One of the things that I find really difficult for women, you know, it's a good advice that most of our women give each other who have gone through this. I don't think it always necessarily works, so maybe you can work around this. People say, well, make new traditions for yourself.
Uh-huh.
You know, don't go by your old traditions. Make new traditions. But sometimes that's so hard when you're first going through this.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe you can address some of those issues. So I'm giving you the floor, Brian.
Well, that's great. Well, first of all, you know what? I just want to say how privileged I am, Bonnie, to be able to be working with you and helping these wonderful women. As a gay man, it's so good to know that folks who have been hurt by gay men understand that that's not a you know, sort of a blanket thing you can expect from all gay men, that, you know, some of us have not been in a position where we've faced the kind of conflicts that some men have faced, and unfortunately they've made some very poor choices that have hurt others, but people like you don't hold their choices against people like me, and I just want to say thank you for that. I really appreciate that. That's how we build, you know.
Well, I do want to just comment on that. I do want to let you know that I would say on behalf of, like, at least 97% of our women, it's never been a gay issue, because ironically,
yeah,
most of our women had gay friends, and I think that's maybe what attracted their gay husbands to them, knowing that they were accepting people. And mostly, you know, helping people and loving people. So I never want you to feel that our women really confuse the issues. Maybe some do in the beginning when you're overwhelmed. But most of our women are very pro-gay. They're pro-gay marriage. They have gay friends. So you don't have to thank us. We're very appreciative that we find somebody who's authentic and willing to deal with the issues that we're going through and understand what we're feeling and be part of that community and be open to our feelings to validate them. So we thank you, Brian.
Thank you. I appreciate that very much. Well, without further ado, so I've written a blog with some tips on it just for your ladies, just for this evening, and it will soon be posted to my blog, which is connected to my website, drbrianhooper.com. But let me just walk through some of those with you now. And then, ladies, don't feel like you have to take notes, because you can just go straight to my website and find the points there. But what I want to talk about is handling the holidays post-betrayal. And when we enter the holiday season, no matter what kind of betrayal people have been through, it really does affect profoundly how they experience those, because they're, you know, it's sort of interesting. The word betrayal comes from a Latin word which means to hand over, and they feel as if, you know, the trust that they had in somebody else is, and who they are, has just been handed off to another person that they don't even know, and their lives have kind of crumbled. But what I want to focus on is about taking back, getting a handle on our lives and using our own hands to receive back the precious lives that we have once again. That's what I want to talk about tonight. So here are some very specific things for folks as they're entering into this this time of year. It's a way to, you know, really to be safe and to salvage their lives. And those are the two things we want to do in the holidays, is be emotionally as safe as we can be, and then begin to salvage or put back our lives together again. So without further ado, here's what I've got for you. I would say let go of the expectations that anything will be quite the same. And why should it be the same? Because everything has changed. You've experienced something that's radical that can't be unexperienced. So your perceptions and your expectations, your experiences, will be different this time around. So recognize that just going into the holidays. Don't expect you can have the same experiences you have had before, because everything indeed has radically been changed. Number two, do old rituals that you have enjoyed, but do them in significantly different kind of ways. So here's an example. Bonnie, if you're getting ready to celebrate Hanukkah or Christmas, maybe if you did that with your spouse in the past and your kids, and the spouse is now out of the picture, maybe you team up with a girlfriend of yours and you go over to her home and you help her decorate, and then she comes over to your home and she helps you decorate. And you have the rest of your family that would be involved in that together. So you're doing something that's usual, but you're doing it in a new way. You're adding a different component to it. And I think it's always helpful to have a friend involved in that kind of thing. Follow me on that?
Yes, I agree.
Yeah, okay. The next
and
one
I recognize
would be,
say it's never going to
yeah,
be quite the same. It's going to be different.
Right.
But that doesn't mean it can't be good.
Right. That's right. It can be very good, but it is going to be different. And it doesn't hurt to have somebody support you in establishing what I call the new normal after the crisis. Plan ahead of time with regard to your food and drink. Go ahead and enjoy the holiday treats, but maybe you put a little reminder card of some kind that you make on your own, a simple little index card that maybe you put a picture on and you slip it into your wallet or into your purse so you see it all the time, and it's to remind you to be careful about what it is that you eat and how it is that you consume alcohol over the holiday so that you don't end up betraying your own body. Rather, you can feel good when the holiday's done that you have taken good care of yourself and you haven't experienced yet another betrayal. That's really, I think, a very important point. Pace yourself so that you have time to rest. It's better to do less but be truly present than to do more and feel burned out. And I think one temptation that women who have children feel is, well, I've got to make up for all of the craziness that's been going on in the family. So they try to do more and make it, you know, the best it can ever be. And the reality is the kids know that things have radically been changed. What's really most important, I think, is that you be emotionally available to them so that you pick up on their cues. And you can listen to their little hearts when, you know, they've got pain of their own. And to do that, you have to take care of yourself. So don't overdo trying to correct what's really been radically damaged. But take care of yourself and pace yourself so that you've got some time to really be present. We spend very little time crossing over thresholds. We spend most of our time on the journey. So let the preparations be, in and of themselves, little celebrations together. If you get out, if you're getting out decorations for your family, whatever the holiday might be that you're celebrating, it doesn't really matter. But if you're getting these things out, recall with the kids, you know, some of the memories, and some of them will be very sweet, and some of them, you know, will be filled with a lot of sorrow, but be present to them so you don't miss that opportunity.
Ryan,
be present
with yourself.
That,
you know, maybe focus more, maybe it would help women focus more on the children than themselves, because I do believe that holidays really should be, the children should be the priority. I mean, these are the memories that they carry forth as they grow into adulthood. And I do believe certain holidays, you know, like Christmas and Hanukkah, they really are for children. You know, it's their illusion of something really special. So maybe if we think more about less what we're going through, but as you're saying, focus more on the children, what's going to make them happy. They're already going to have a lot of changes in their life. And so maybe these holidays should be maybe some, you know, foundation of stability for them when everything else seems to be falling apart. Would you say
that's
right?
Very, 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 very true. And even though, you know, the women may feel discounted by the man who's now left, don't discount yourself and how valuable you are to your kids. You are more valuable than any gift that you can get your children during the holiday, just your true presence with them. So, you know, maybe you go out and you do something special. Maybe there's a production in town that you can take them to and just enjoy time with them. So, I agree with that. And if you practice a religious tradition, whatever that may be, you know, draw upon the strengths from that tradition with your children to help them cope and recognize that in the midst of the dark time of the year, you know, sort of interesting. This is the dark time of the year, winter, and yet all of us light candles. Doesn't matter what our tradition is. We're all about lighting candles and celebrating the power of light over the powers of darkness. So be with them and make that a really sacred healing time for them by investing in them.
Yep.
Creating a new tradition, something to which you can assign a meaning that supports life and love, and do that even if you don't feel like doing it. You know, a lot of people this time of year who maybe they've been through the death of a parent recently or something, not exactly what the ladies are going through, but that they're often helped out by doing something for someone else. So maybe, you know, as a family, mom and the children do something for some other kids and who are homeless. We have, where I live, a program called Room in the Inn, and one of the lovely things they're doing is making sure that some of the folks who are on the street, that live on the street, have something that they can give to their child or to their grandchild, and they make sure that it gets delivered where it belongs, you know, to the child. What a wonderful way to involve kids in what it really means to love people and to share your love with your children as you do that sort of thing. Another idea would be to make sure that you exercise. You know, this is the time of year there's lots of parties and lots of food and lots of drink, and we can forget about exercise. Well, before January 1 gets here, start exercising now. It doesn't have to be strenuous. It can just be going out for a walk if you're in a place where you can walk. And if it's too cold to walk where you are, go to a mall and just walk around inside the mall. They're usually open early in the morning, and there are less people there at night, so there's some options there to do some exercise. And it does a couple of things for folks. It's so very important. It releases helpful neurochemicals that help to lift depression. It dispels toxins, and it aids with sleep. So make sure you're doing something to exercise within your ability. And speaking of sleep, sleep is absolutely necessary to release certain hormones that are required to repair our bodies. And the lack of sleep results in stress and the release of corrosive cortisols that can drain our adrenal glands and result in feeling really fatigued. Most Americans, period, just don't get enough sleep. So it's really important to make sure that you rest and you get that kind of sleep, because it is a stressful time of year. What about spending? What do you think that people who are going through these kind of things do in terms of spending, Bonnie?
I think
what do you think the temptation is?
To keep buying to make yourself feel satisfied in some way.
Yeah. Try to buy things to fill up the hole, or to delude ourselves into thinking that, well, the hole in my heart will get filled up if I just, you know, give more gifts than usual to my children or to my loved ones. And that's very different than a family together going out and doing something that's charitable. And so I would say be conservative with your spending. You can't shop your way out of grief or pain. And if possible, make things with your hands for others. A pie, some cookies, cards for grandma and grandpa with the kids.
When you talk about going out and overspending money, because it's kind of like instant gratification when you need it. But I always think that if you go instead to like an art store like Michael's or whatever stores are in your area, buy some arts and crafts stuff to make little boxes with paintings or drawings. That, you know,
exactly,
is a way to release your creativity without spending a fortune.
Mm-hmm.
And you can have some concrete that you've made or that you can give away as a gift. So I think this is maybe to kind of utilize whatever inward, you know, artistic, you know, well, I don't have much artistic, but I try anyway. It doesn't really look good, but that's all right. I have fun doing it.
You know, I really concur with you about that idea. Doing something that is creative, taking that energy and channeling it in a way which is really sort of life enhancing, that affirms your own ability not just to create something at Michael's, but let that be a symbol of recreating your own life as well. And it's to start a new tradition, you know. decorating boxes that hold precious things can be a way of getting ourselves out of a feeling of being boxed in to old ways of doing things that just can't be done anymore. So I like that a lot. I like it a lot. The other thing about being conservative with our spending is it's just like not overeating and not overdrinking. When the holiday's over, we don't have more regrets to feel guilt and shame about that way because we've taken care of ourselves financially. We've taken care of ourselves physically. We're actually starting the year off on the right foot and not feeling like we've gone further backwards, you know.
So, you know what, another idea that I like to practice at the holiday times when people are really feeling kind of on a low side, you don't have to spend a lot of money for this, but I think it's nice. I've done this on several different years. I go into the dollar store and I buy little toys and go to the children's wards at the hospitals. But some of those kids don't have anybody coming to see them. And, you know, it's a holiday that they don't feel happy about because they're in a hospital. So I think when you're doing things to help children and you can see how their faces light up, and it doesn't take a lot of money to spend $10 at the dollar store and buy a box of crayons and coloring books or some stuffed animals. And I think these kids are so happy that you feel that you've really done something important for the holidays.
And you have, because it's not the cost of the box of crayons. It's the fact that you've made an investment in somebody else's life. And not only do they feel enriched by that, but you feel enriched and empowered, and you recognize, Bonnie, in doing that kind of thing, you recognize, gee, you know, I really have something to give to the world, and it's not the crayons, it's my heart, and I'm putting it out there, and I'm staying engaged, and I'm experiencing life in a deep way. Absolutely, go do something for someone else, and if you've got kids, take them along and get them involved in doing that as well. And, you know, more and more there are reputable organizations which help make sure that people who live in sub-Saharan Africa have mosquito netting or they've got, you know, baby chicks to begin to be able to feed themselves by raising eggs, chickens that lay eggs. And there's all sorts of projects like the Heifer Project that people of any religious or no religious background can help sponsor and feel good about, as well as things right in our own backyard. So make use of those. Absolutely make use of those things, those opportunities. I would also suggest that people pause and think before they either accept or reject an invitation or an opportunity. And, you know, you can always make a very polite kind of space to come back with an answer later, like, let me check my schedule and get back to you. And here's why I would suggest people pause before they either accept or reject an invitation. I think it's important to ask themselves, will it contribute to their well-being? Are they saying yes out of love, or are they saying yes out of obligation? And the other corollary to that is, if they're saying no, are they saying no out of a place of fear, or are they saying no out of a place of self-empowerment? So, you know, make sure that you're not reacting to invitations, automatically staying in because you just don't feel like going out, or automatically going out because you feel obligated and you really need to stay in and rest. Put a little space in there and check in with your heart and be honest with yourself, and then decide if you want to say yes or no to the many, many things that come up during the holidays.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I keep coming back to be gentle with yourself, pace yourself. You may not have a spouse there, but ask yourself, how would I want an ideal spouse to treat me? And then treat yourself that way. Be good to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And take good care. Yeah, absolutely. So how are you doing so far, Bonnie? Are these helpful ideas?
I think they are, Brian. You know, I think it's important for women to know there's no one size fits all on this. You know, a lot of it depends on what you're at in your marriage, your divorce, you know, your life in general, if you're just finding out. If, you know, I think that for some women it's much harder because, you know, if you picture this scenario where, mm-hmm. you know, you're still with your soon-to-be ex-husband, you know that it's going to be the last holiday you're going to be together. You know, you haven't told the children yet. You know, and you're trying to pretend that you're feeling okay when you know you're not. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, I just know it's hard for so many women when they're kind of in that limbo state.
That's even more complicated than when, you know, when the ex has moved out and the kids know it's not going to be the same again. When you're in that in-between place, that's really, really hard, and even more important that you take care of yourself in that period of time. Yeah.
Now, let me ask you some questions that came up this week that I said I would ask you.
Okay.
You know, from our chat room. You know, women are at all phases of their lives and their marriages and divorces and, you know, on the road stuff. But
uh-huh.
let's say that this is kind of new for you. And sometimes
uh-huh.
it takes time for women to absorb this. You know, I always tell the gay men that I work with, and I work with a lot of them, that you have to give your wife the time that it takes to, you know, get through this emotionally just to be able to realize what's just happened. You know, you've come to her, you know you're doing the right thing by telling her the truth, but it's not like she's just sit down and absorb it. You know, it takes time, and, you know, there's going to be, it will be definitely the worst time of your life, trust me. Any man
mm-hmm.
who's listening, you know, we never promise you it's going to be good. It's going to be bad. Yes, your wife is going to be angry, and your children may be angry, but, you know, it's part of the process of going through grieving. Anger is a part of it, right?
One of the men that I worked with last year who did the right thing and did come out and tell his wife, but he said to me after doing it, he said, now I know what it feels like to land without a parachute. And it's like, yeah, you and your wife both know what it's like to land without a parachute.
Well, I would tell him you're absolutely right. You're landing without a parachute, but you're falling on her. So,
Right.
Like some women really, they're very torn right now because, you know, it's a holiday and, you know, their husbands have moved on and met somebody new. And it's still very raw and hurtful for them. And then they have to, you know, send the children into the homes where their husbands have their new boyfriends. You know, because the husbands insist. And, you know, I think that, you know, it's so confusing, you know, in the first year or two, you know, when children aren't even aware of what's going on and the wife isn't, you know, recovering yet. I mean, mm-hmm. they want to spend time with their kids. It's, you know, Christmas. They don't have, you know, their family together anymore. What advice do you give these women? Or could you?
Could I ask you to repeat that one more time?
You know, women are going through this, you know, now it's time, you know, for the holiday time and their husbands have moved on, they have a boyfriend, they're living together. And the wives don't feel comfortable with that to start with, and now they're sending their children there for the holidays, and a lot of explaining has to be done. You know, and it's just hard on them. I'm like, do you have any good words of advice?
Well, I would encourage them to ask a couple things. One, I would ask if, if they're sensing something that they're afraid of, ask what it is they're afraid of. Because if they're afraid that if they're afraid of their children's reaction when the kids go, I would say the kids will pick up on that fear. So the best thing that they can do is to simply stay tuned with where the kids are. Listen to what's going on in that they're saying and that they're asking, and listen to the emotional stuff that they're coming up with. So try to sort of step into their experience and really listen to that. And yes, there's going to be that sense of, that profound sense of, damn it, you know, here he is and he's got somebody in his life and I don't have anybody. And I want to, first of all, be the first one to acknowledge that that's a very real, human, normal, natural response. I'm also going to say, if you rehearse that over and over and over in your head, and that's the only thing that's going through your head in the holidays, you're only going to make yourself absolutely miserable, okay? I would say, yes, he does have somebody, and I'd like to have somebody too, and I don't, but you know what? He's not available to me, and he hasn't been available to me for a long time. And now my life is finally open, and eventually when my heart heals, if I want to, I'll be available to the right person. So just try to avoid rehearsing the pain so that you don't become bitter. And I know it's hard, but if we ruminate on something over and over again, we just end up giving ourselves, you know, really bad emotional indigestion.
No,
so
I just think it's
it.
Very hard. It's very hard when all is done now. There's two
awful.
Thanksgivings. There's two Christmases. The kids are kind of torn in between. And, you know, I think that I'm being honest with you, Brian, you know, that I'm just talking from the heart when I tell you this. You know, but it's really hard for a lot of women who are just, you know, confronting this in their lives in this first year of acceptance of having to make all these changes in their lives. To then have to deal with, you know, the boyfriends of their husbands. And, you know, it's just a very painful thing. And I don't think the husbands really understand this. You know, like a lot of times they say to me, I've moved on. What's taking her so long? Like they're looking for some instant miracle. But they don't understand this is a process.
And I would be the first to say to those husbands, listen here, how long did it take you to figure out and accept who you are, and you want her to do it overnight? You got to be kidding me. You know, if it took you time, imagine what it's going to do for her. So,
what if kids don't feel comfortable with their father's new boyfriends?
Well, I think it's the same case as kids often don't feel comfortable with dad's new girlfriend if he's a straight man that's left mom, you know?
No, I don't think it's the same,
either,
to be honest with you. I think it's really different.
I'm not saying it's the same, but the reality is if the father does share custody with mom, they're going to be around this person. And, you know, it's going to be a real learning curve for them. And there again, we have to sit down with kids and listen to what their feelings are and hear their fears and, you know, not judge them for that, but just help them process it. Now, if for any reason the child feels uncomfortable, not safe around dad's new boyfriend, and I'd say this the same if it was mom's new boyfriend, okay? So this is not about orientation. This is just about the person. If they don't feel safe, then you have to do things to make sure that you keep the kids safe and that they're feeling safe, too. But anyway,
I get where you're coming from. It's just that I can see where, you know, so I just have kids. They just don't want to go there. They don't want to be in the midst of it. They're not comfortable with it yet. You know, this is something they found out a couple months ago. So now not only do they have to adjust to having their lives uprooted, you know, having a single family home again, having, you know, two separate places, but I think that in all fairness, you know, I know that I'm not talking, you know, on one side or the other, because I know when my kids were growing up, I didn't really feel comfortable with them being involved with, you know, my personal life. And I kept it pretty distant from them until they were older. But I think that men have to also be considerate of the fact that this is something totally new, something that's going to be totally take time to absorb for kids, and that maybe in the beginning of the holidays, just spend the time with your kids. You don't have to have somebody attached to you to do that. I'm not saying
right.
You can't do it down the line, but, you know, they need time to adjust also to all of this.
Sure they do.
So would you think that would be reasonable?
I was just going to say, if the ex is a reasonable person, then both mom and dad will negotiate some ways to make sure the kids are okay. You know, I don't think children should be forced to pretend that they're you know, having this wonderful, happy holiday when they're not.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of those things, I think, for the sake of the kids, try to have the best relationship you can have with the ex, so that you can work together on their behalf. And I think that's one of the things that at least most of the women that I've dealt with, they really do seek to do exactly that. You know, they really do have their kids' best interest at heart, and I totally admire that and respect them.
Right, and it's not to say that fathers don't love their children, but they have to also consider what these children are up against. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's just that not everybody wants to have to, you know, it takes a long time to adjust to this. It can't be that you never suspected this, known this about your dad, then one day you find out your parents are splitting up, the next day you find out why they're splitting up, and the following day you find out their dad has a boyfriend that now you have to accept, when you're not even comfortable with the idea that men have to understand
right.
that this is going to take time. They're not
right.
on your time
right.
schedule. They have their own time schedule, right?
That's right. Yeah. Everybody has to adjust to these things in their own time.
And it's not necessarily because their moms are giving bad messages. Sometimes these mothers don't say anything. The kids
right.
still aren't comfortable with this.
Right. Yep. That's right.
No, I think it's important to be able to communicate that with the children. You know, I have women who I yell at a lot, Brian, because they're very negative about gay. Not a lot of them, a few of them.
Uh-huh.
And I tell them, if you want to feel and if you're angry because your husband's gay, that's fine. If you want to vent, you come to my chat room, that's fine. You can spew out whatever you want. But when you're
right.
in front of your children, you cannot be doing that. And
that's
I tell
right.
them that it's because children are made up of two parents, and when you attack the other parent, you're attacking part of them.
That's
on
right.
On some level.
That's right.
They're feeling there's something that you're attacking about them. Is that right?
I completely agree. And if, you know, if it's like, if it's a situation where the child gets to decide where he or she wants to live and child happens to say, you know, and I would say this to either parent, if the child says, you know, I want to live with mom, I would look at the father and I would say, I don't care what you're feeling inside. You look at the kid and you say, all right, kiddo, that's fine. I completely understand. And if you decide you want to come live over here, then, you know, you'll be welcome here. But I want you to be where you're happy. And you put a big smile on. And even if you don't like it, you don't show the kid. You support that. And I would say the same thing to the mom as well. We don't use our children as pawns.
I think a lot of these dads, you know, we call them the Disney dads.
Yep.
Because, you know, the
yep.
limited time they're spending with their children, they're being, you know, the greatest dad in the world, you know,
uh-huh.
like going over and above what they normally ever did before, you
and
know.
How does mom usually feel about that, Bonnie?
Very resentful, Brian, because, you know, having a good, solid relationship with your child would never be the issue. It's that the expectations that, wow, dad's a fun parent because he takes us here and he takes us there. mm-hmm. you know, because it's only like, you know, a weekend every other week or, you know, a couple of nights, you know, every or a night a week. So when you're with a fun parent who doesn't have to be the day-to-day disciplinarian, doing the homework with the kids, you know, doing the things they don't like, and you take them to good places on trips, you know, that's how my ex-husband used to be too. You know, he wasn't there for the day-to-day support, but he took them on cruises. You know, he took them traveling. Because he enjoyed traveling, so he took them with another group of people that he would go with. So they did get to see, you know, a lot of places that they wouldn't have seen with me. But when you need them on a day-to-day basis for the consistency and to, you know, take care of them, that's another story. And then you look like the mean parent because you're not doing that.
Right. I also, and in the short run, I can only imagine how hard it is to be the mom whose kids have the Disney dad. In the long run, I think it's kind of like the tortoise and the hare. You know, in the long run, the consistent, loving mom who also sets very clear boundaries and expects homework to be done on time and curfews to be reinforced and all of that, that will be the one that the kids ultimately, for the most part, the majority of them, maybe not all, but the majority of kids will ultimately recognize she's the one who really was the parent to me.
Mm-hmm.
And not in the short run, but in the long run. And that will be the parent that the kid will be able to come to and talk to as they get older and have the ongoing relationship with. Kids are smart, and I think they ultimately, in the long haul, see through this. Not in the short run, but in the long
mm-hmm.
haul, they do.
I don't know. I mean, every divorce has complexities, no doubt. You know,
mm-hmm.
getting divorced is really a major change in life when it comes to families and children. But these
yep.
divorces have those same elements plus.
Yep.
In other words, there's, you know, all the things that straight marriages and divorces go through, but now you have an extra thing to contend with. And I think it's so much harder because some of our women, you know, really love their husbands so much, and they didn't even realize there was a problem. And then all of a sudden they're being told, well, our marriage is over. And they don't get it. You know, it's one thing when you have a bad marriage and you're kind of relieved that it's over. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, I would say a number of our women, they're really suffering because they love their husbands. The marriages have been good marriages by their standards. And they're so stuck. You know, they're afraid to leave because they do love him. On the other hand, they know what he's doing. You know, and they have such a hard time living with that. So that's why I think there's a lot more complexities with this.
Mhm. Mhm. Yeah, no doubt it is much more complex. I wouldn't dispute that for a moment.
Mhm. Do you think like a lot of these men, it seems to me they're pretty emotionally manipulative when they're in their marriages because of the fact that they're trying to hide a secret, so they have to keep moving things around, not be discovered.
Well, certainly the ones who are acting out, and that's really the ones who I think where most of us are talking about,
mm-hmm.
they do all the things that are emotionally manipulative, from very subtle ways of doing that to very sort of gross ways of doing that. You know, a subtle form of manipulation is just capitulation to, you know, doing a lot of things, maybe the way that they think their wife wants it done, and she thinks she's got, you know, this wonderful husband, and he thinks he's doing all the right stuff because he's doing what she wants, but he's spending countless hours, you know, meeting up with other men on the side. And that's a form of manipulation, you know, in and of itself, just even though he may not think it's manipulation.
Mm-hmm.
So it happens, and then it can happen in very overt kind of ways, like, you know, you and I have talked about this, putting the wife down, telling her that, you know, if she was a better wife, he wouldn't have to go out, you know, looking for male companionship, which is so ridiculous sounding. But I was just had a very, very dear friend in town who I met back in 1995.
She was married to a gay man, actually a physician, interestingly enough, who was a psychiatrist. And when I mentioned that, the whole thing about women who were put down by their husband, she gave me that look of sincere knowledge and understanding of exactly what that's like.
Interesting that I had a man who I've been working with this week, and, I always offer counseling to any gay man who wants to come to me to get him started on the right track of what to do. And mm-hmm. one of the things that he said to me that I try to, break down with him is that he would be getting divorced anyway because his wife acts this way, this way, this way, this way. And his kids are the first to tell him, Dad, I don't know how you live with her. She's this and she's that. So he said, do I really have to tell her that I'm leaving because I'm gay? And mm-hmm. I said to him, yes, you do. I said, absolutely. He says, mm-hmm. but we would probably, he said, we have an emptiness syndrome now, so we would probably be splitting anyway. I said, you know what? You've been married to this woman for 25 years. And I said, don't you think you owe her at least the truth? And he said, well, the problem is that I have other gay male friends who have told their wives, and they say there's hell to pay. It costs them financially, it costs them emotionally, it costs them this. So why go through that? Why can't we just say we've outgrown each other? I said, well, maybe she doesn't feel she has outgrown you. I said, how can you? And then I said to him, because he was insisting that she has some really heavy-duty issues, and I said, she's very controlling and possessive. And I said, well, maybe it's because she's been suspicious of you all these years when she sees that you haven't been showing her the affection and the emotional support she needs. She's just reacting, fearing that, there's somebody else out there that you may be seeing. So she's afraid that if you leave the house that maybe you'll hook up with somebody. I said, here's what you need to understand, that many of our women, I would say the majority of us, do not act like we would normally act in another circumstance when we're married to a gay man. And that's because we're in an abnormal situation, because I truly believe that straight and gay are not meant to be for either party.
Yes, sir.
And
right.
when you're constantly trying to be something that you're not, or fix something and you can't understand what's broken, or you're being blamed that you're stubborn or you're this or you're that and you don't even know why you're being told that, or there's no emotional attachment, you don't turn out to be the woman you started out to be. You turn out to be somebody else.
Right.
And I think that, I stand by that. I'm telling you that our women do not end up who they started out being because of the slow strip down of who they are and the loss of their self-esteem, sexual esteem. So they don't even know who they are anymore, and then the men are complaining. I mean, they didn't want them to start with, and then they're finding fault with them. So I told them, no, you have to tell her. I'm sorry.
I agree with you, Bonnie. I agree with you. And on several different levels. Number one, you need to tell her because if you've been having sex with other men, then she has the right to know that, because that's about her physical and psychological health, and she needs to know that to take care of herself, okay? And the man may say, well, I know I'm completely clean and all that. Listen, that's between you and your physician, and her mm-hmm. health is between her and her physician. You have an obligation to let her know. But the other thing is that she needs to know so she can put the pieces together, so that she can say, oh, now I get why nothing worked.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Now I get why when I tried this, that, or the other, thinking that I was, being sexy, or that I was being charming, or that I was being loving and supportive, it didn't seem to be well received, Now I understand why he was moody. It wasn't me, So she needs the opportunity to reclaim herself.
I know, I say to these men, you've been really putting her, to hell and back in most cases, after I talk to them. I say,
mm-hmm.
The least you owe her is the reason why. Instead of her having to internalize that she's been a failure in this marriage and, with you echoing in, well, it's your fault, your fault, your fault, And then her having the inside emotional stability to even meet somebody else, like you're cutting off her chances for that.
Right.
But she'll never feel she can be adequate in any relationship if you don't tell her the truth.
That's right.
So do you agree with that?
Like, absolutely. On the same page. Imagine that once again. But we are, you know.
I know.
Because it's about doing the right thing, which it's about, you know, the core of my ethic is doing the loving thing. And when people press me and say, well, what does that mean? My response is to say, it is whatever is going to contribute to the wholeness and the well-being of others. That's the loving thing to do. The thing that most supports them in being their most full, human, alive selves. That's the loving thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
So cluing her in so that she can make sense out of this is what's important. You know, it's really interesting. Whenever there is any kind of a catastrophic event, maybe it's a natural catastrophe, maybe it's one of these awful mass shootings, what's the first thing that people try to do? They try to get information as to what's going on, what was the motivation, who did what, where and when. And although the media has made a circus of it, and that disturbs me greatly, what people are really trying to do is to make sense out of what seems absolutely senseless. They're trying to get some control on something that's gone completely out of control. So giving their former wives the truth is a way of giving them some information that helps them get control again and begin to gather the pieces up so they can decide what they want to do with the pieces of their lives.
Not only that, but these men claim that they love their wives. If you love your wife, then you need to do the right thing. How is love equated into keeping secrets and making her feel, inadequate? That's not love. That's selfishness.
Yeah.
And that's what I tell these men.
Unfortunately, many people see love as simply their feeling of affection for someone else.
Mm-hmm.
And real love is about wanting for and working for the best for another, even when you don't feel like it.
And I know there's all different kinds of love, as I've been told so many times by my critics, that, there's all kinds of love, and just because this isn't exactly what it's supposed to be doesn't mean there's not love there. And I acknowledge, you can love someone like a friend, like a sister, like a brother, whatever the case is. But I still believe that whatever that kind of love is that you have for that woman that you married in good faith, who's been there to love you back, for X amount of years, had children with you, raised a family with you, how do you think it's okay not to tell her why your marriage is now breaking up when she didn't even know that there was a problem with the marriage? I mean, I think that really is ridiculous, and men need to own up to that. And some of them do. I mean, I'm not saying they all don't.
Yeah.
Some do after they talk to me and they realize that, you have to, what I say, do the right thing. But,
right.
Sometimes it's a real fight.
It seems to be that we all want to take the path of least resistance, no matter what it is. But what really contributes to our own sense of self-esteem, which is, I like to say, self-esteem is not something that somebody else can give you. Self-esteem is the relationship you build with yourselves.
Uh-huh.
So these men, I would say, start, you come clean and begin to rebuild your relationship with yourself and build it on integrity, which is the integration of your deepest values with your outward actions. They need to match, The belt and the shoes need to match. Well, the intention and the actions need to match as well. And so the loving thing, doesn't matter what you're feeling inside for her now, the loving thing to do is doing the right thing.
Let me ask you this, Brian, before we close for the night. Would there be any sense in trying to bring some kind of awareness to the gay community, in your opinion, of course, about how destructive these marriages are and how authentic gay people should try to stay away from married men.
Interesting you should mention that. There's a young man, I've forgotten his name. I've seen a few of his little blogs that he's posted.
Mm-hmm.
But one was, it was sort of tongue-in-cheek, but there was a straight male model, and this young man is very, very attractive, very physically attractive, clearly, you know, into the gym, as was the straight model. And he says on his little blog, a little video blog, he says, you know, there's this mystique in the gay community about seducing straight men and
mm-hmm.
turning them gay. He said, so I've invited so-and-so here, who is a straight man and a model, to come for a little experiment. And it's all done tongue-in-cheek, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And clearly the straight guy is a guy who, he's comfortable in his own sexuality. So the gay young man just does some flirting with him and gives him a kiss on the cheek. And it sort of dances around a little bit, looks at him and says, anything? You feeling anything? No. And then he turns to the camera and he says, so, you know what, folks? Give it up. It's not going to happen. Gay is gay. Straight is straight. It sounds like fun, but don't spend any time on it. So I think among the younger set, there's much more of a sense of why bother, you know?
Maybe when they're younger, they don't bother. Maybe they, as they get older. I just see there's a lot of it.
What I see a lot is gay men who are in marriages who are acting out with other gay men and thinking it's just fine as long as she doesn't know.
Mm-hmm.
That's
absolutely
the kind of thing. I think if in the gay community we could encourage each other more to take our friends aside if we know they're doing that and say, hey, you know, this is not cool. I'm not here to out you, but I'm here to say to you, you're not fully alive while you're doing this, while you're acting out and closeted at the same time, and you're keeping her from her fullest life.
Mm-hmm.
And we're about liberty and justice, okay? We want that in the gay community, so wouldn't we want that for straight women, too, that are married to gay men? You know, wouldn't we want them to be treated right? So I would kind of approach it that way.
Yeah, I think there needs to be an awareness made.
The first article that I wrote for a new magazine for the gay and lesbian community in Nashville
mm-hmm.
was on how to come out to your wife and why that was important.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I'm passionate about that. You know, don't do it. It's deadening.
Right, I agree with you 100%. You know, it's time, especially with the new year coming. It's time to get honest. I mean, if that's the message
yep.
that needs to be heard, it's time to get honest. You'll feel better. Your family eventually will feel better. It will be the worst day of your life. There's nothing that you can ever say and take back once those words are said. That's the way it is. But you can't move on to a new life unless you're being honest about it, because it will just come back at you time and again and again. And, you know, I think that once the truth is out like this, you can deal with it. It's just till it gets out, until you deal with it, the anticipation and living that. I mean, I feel really bad for some of these guys. I do. My heart goes out to them. You know, they make themselves sick over this because they just don't know what to do. But
no.
I think
well,
that truth is always
guys,
wins out.
Guys, if you're listening, call me. I'm expert in helping men come out to their wives and move on
mm-hmm.
with their life. Ladies,
and anybody who's listening should call Dr. Brian when you need therapy. He does therapy
mm-hmm.
via phone, via Skype, in person if you're in the Tennessee area. You can also, you know, like I say, do therapy for your husbands. You know, don't feel shy about saying to your husbands, look, we've heard this great guy and he can really help you with your issues. You know, just
mm-hmm.
call him and set up, you know, he does therapy, you know, license for therapy. So, you know, you're the real
yep,
thing and the real deal.
I have a phone appointment with a gentleman on the East Coast tomorrow who's going to be talking with me for the first time and wants to begin to deal with this, so I'm happy for him. The points that I went over on taking care of yourself during the holidays, that's posted on my website. Go to my blog, and you can find that at www.drbryanhooper.com. And go to my blog, and you'll find, actually, there are 12. One for each of the 12 days of Christmas. There you go, if that's your tradition. And, you know, eight and a few more for those of you who are celebrating Hanukkah.
I was going to say 8.5, 1.5 a day for the people for Hanukkah.
There you go.
But definitely, if you can't find or write down Brian's address and time, just go to mygayhusbands.com, look onto the right for, you know, links to help for, you know, men, and you'll see Brian's website there. And, Brian, all I can say is thank you so much for giving these tips. I know sometimes it's easier to give them than to do them. But even if you take on one thing, just one of those ideas, it will make your holiday season brighter. And once again, I'll be online on Thanksgiving Eve, Christmas Eve, New Year's Eve, most of the eves. Don't, you know, write to me. I'll send you directions how to join our chat. And the main thing is to find the support that you need through this holiday time. Expect to have the holiday blues. Most of us have it. You know, it's just something that's ongoing. But we learn to make new traditions and how to do things in a different way. And, Brian, we will be having you back again. I guess it would have to be close to New Year's Eve, right? Maybe not directly on New Year's Eve.
I look forward to it. Yep.
Yep,
and
thank
Bonnie,
you so
I love
much.
You and thank you. Thank you, my dear.
I love
dear.
You too, Brian. And to all our listeners, okay. We'll be back next week, and love to all of you. Good night.
Bye-bye.